Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite divine wisdom, joy, and lots of laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan,
and co-host Arnie Avedisian. Hello, everyone. As usual, we're delighted to have you with us this evening. And this show is all about listener participation. Well, not the first half, but the second half is all about listener participation. And we would love to hear your questions and comments during the second part of the show. Make a note of the number. The number to call is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227.
Thank you, Ani. Welcome, everyone. We are so excited to be here, and we look forward to this time in our lives to feel a connection that is unlimited and without space and time. It is today's topic that we are going to be talking about new beginnings, and there's so much to say about that because, of course, perspective is everything, where you are in your life and what is happening to those around you. And also, I invite people to that are listening in to contemplate the new beginnings of the rhythm of life, not just your own, but the life around you in nature, new flowers, new life, new thought, that even though there is transformation occurring, that at the same moment that transformation is occurring in someone's life, something is ending, that there is, and something is changing, there is, in that very moment of your personal experience, there is a new beginning happening. There is, when you are sitting there reading a book or trying to be heard or looking at the sunset, whatever your personal experience is, there is at that moment all over the world a new consciousness waking up to driving for the first time, and that excitement, seeing themselves and experiencing themselves through the eyes of another in their first relationship, contemplating the universe and feeling connected to it, that oftentimes in our lives we equate what's going on as a new beginning to what we see around us and what we experience from us. But I invite everyone to remember that at the same time that we're driving our car for the 100th time, there is a new beginning for that first excited teenager behind the wheel and the freedom that that offers. So there is so much to be said today that I'm going to ask Ani to share on that thought, and we'll have plenty more.
Thank you, Cynthia. Teenagers behind the wheel for the first time. Oh, boy, does that just fill me with joy.
Is that not a new beginning for a parent?
It is a new beginning for a parent. It's an ending for most parents. The stress and the trauma of those 24 driving lessons ages them about 10 years. But, yes, very nicely put, actually, to see something as beautiful as a new beginning and something as potentially traumatic as that.
Well, it was a metaphor, but, yes, I see.
I, too, am delighted to feel the connection with you all. I've been snowed in for 6 days. We've had snowstorms here in Portland.
Yes, horrible.
So it's really nice to have had that time. And it got me thinking about the title of the show, New Beginnings. What do I want to do so close to the new year? You know, what's it all about? And at this time of year, when I'm not snowed in, I usually do a lot of energetic clearings in people's houses. And they invite me to come in and get the place ready because usually families get together once a year only, and not having seen each other for a year, and then all the spiked eggnog, there's usually all these arguments, and people start throwing things at each other, and it's a bad time. So I get a chance to go into people's houses and you know, have a little glimpse about where they live and how they live, and everyone starts telling me about all the New Year's resolutions that they're going to make,
mm-hmm.
You know. So for me, it really is all about taking your time and not trying to do 110 different new things all at once. So new beginnings for me this time of year, I invite you all not to try and make your life a clean sheet of paper to write on from the get-go. What does it mean to start anew? I think the main thing is we can't change our habits without changing our thinking. Everybody wants to get out there and exercise more, drink less. Eat less.
No, we're not talking about yours.
No, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So everyone wants to completely rearrange their life, you know, very, very quickly around the new year. My invitation to you guys is just take a look at what you really seriously do want to achieve. And you can't just suddenly start exercising more without realizing, you know, why you didn't before. So we want to change the thinking patterns around our new experiences. I'm just telling everybody not to rush out there and do all these New Year's resolutions, because you all know that by March 13th, it's all going to be over. It's all going to be done. And you're going to be going back to your old ways. All right? So that's the first thing I think I want to share with you. Isn't that your experience, too? Don't people try to rush into everything and change everything really quickly?
I think that a running start is what they're looking for. I think that they might feel more fuel and empowered if they are running towards something instead of running away from it. Mm. However, to take it to a whole other level, I was thinking about new beginnings, and I was thinking about so many of us in our humanity are looking for not only a new beginning personally, but worldly. And I was thinking about masters that have walked the earth in past times, known or unknown. Those masters in the fairy garden that are unknown, but yet when they arrive, the fairy garden becomes renewed with life. The same way that the masters of the seasons, also masters of the past, meaning any being walking the earth that is in connection with the opportunity within them to know that co-creating and beginning anew is possible at every breath that we take. That the focus on what is impossible takes our breath away, and breathing into what is possible helps us to breathe more deeply. Also thinking about planting in our lives and with our relationships with each other the opportunity to plant a new co-creating thought, a new thought, I would say, mixed in with the regular thoughts of your days. Like, let's say you wake up in a pattern of thinking, you want to start including in a new script in that thinking that doesn't necessarily involve the past or the future, but who you desire to become in whatever your new year's resolution may be. You know, regardless of what's going on the other side of the earth, whatever side that you are on, a seed in the ground being held there by the presence of the Most Divine is given all the energy and opportunity to grow and to reveal its beauty, its color, and its placement, not to humanity only, but to be witnessed not only by the sky, but by the nature around itself. So new life also includes new thoughts and individuals walking the earth. When you're thinking of how to create a new life, I invite you to remember that as you were born, all of the DNA in your physical body holds your hall of records. It holds the information not only of creation but of possibility. And it holds possibility at a level and a place where anything that is impossible was not yet invited in. So as the computer of your soul is being read by the DNA within and you are being created, I'm inviting everyone, regardless of age and where you are in your life, to breathe deeply, and instead of looking at why not things are possible for you or others, go back to a place within you of really contemplating that your own soul mastery, your own wisdom, the ability to even feel like you can, that you know and it is your right, that lives within you and it was there at your birth, and it only grows. It does not dissipate. So it's there waiting whenever you are standing in the light of yourself to join hands with you. So if you think you don't know, you can't, and it's not okay, you were born with all the permission you needed to.
Absolutely. Nobody gave us limits when we were born. Nobody told us how much money we were going to make or whether we were going to get to master's or PhD level or, you know, what our perfect body weight was going to be. You know, when a seed pops open, it doesn't really know what type of flower it is. It doesn't really care. It just pops open. It's very nature. It's expansive. And that's what we are, except on some level, I think we know a little bit more than a seed as to, you know, where we're going. An open mind invites new experiences. Now, thank you for saying what you said, Cynthia, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they carry their records with them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know when I put my hand in someone's root chakra, it is a mobile floppy disk of all of their experiences and all of their feelings. You know, that's exactly how I see it. It's all there. So we've done it all, pretty much. We've been it all. Now, we have this life that we're living right now. We can draw upon all of those experiences and all of that wisdom just by keeping an open mind. We don't know where the information is going to come from, but chances are that we're inspiring ourselves from our past generations.
I agree, absolutely. And with that open mind, you leave as much space available. It's like you tell the universe, I am open to the following, but I'm not going to limit recognizing it only through one avenue. I'm going to remain open to receive the abundance of whatever your choosing is from as big a place as the universe can offer it to me, even beyond my imagination. I'm open to receiving it. And so with that openness, I agree that the open mind is the creating mind, creating with all that's possible and not necessarily trying to juggle with where you are in the moment. I want to say, too, for everyone that's listening, to contemplate as well that let's say your life right now does not hold peace. It does not hold a place or even a space within you or around you for serenity, for empowerment, for a feeling of connection. Go, allow yourself to go into the permission to be in an embryonic state or a state of co-creation, where your DNA holds all that's possible, not only for you, but also reads the records of life, the life that would accompany you in your divine symphony. And I invite you to, if it's not available in your life right now, picture it, create it, make it comfy, make it warm, make it a cathedral, the sound, the color. Create the sacred space within you that is your birthright to do so, and then go there if your life in the present moment is not already representing that. And if it is representing that, then share that light and be of service from that place with everyone that you meet.
Absolutely. A cup is most useful when it's empty is one of my favorite little phrases. You know, I'm not saying...
Unless
you know.
You're at Starbucks.
Oh, yes, Starbucks. Yeah, so instant refills, free refills. Yeah, you know. Now, obviously, we don't want our minds to be empty. We want our souls to keep wanting to expand. We want to keep drinking in all of that information.
Absolutely.
You know, is what we're trying to say here. So invite the new experiences. You know, even if you do a little exercise where every day you sit and you think about doing something you've always wanted to do but never thought you could because now you're married and you have 16 children and, you know, you don't have time and all of that. You know? So somebody taught me a little exercise the other day, which I want to share with you. And it's actually an ancient sort of exercise, but it's called the golden net. Have you heard of that, Cynthia?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a way to invite new surprising experiences into your life. It's a way of opening yourself up to the universe and saying, surprise me, God. You know, let me see what's out there for me without having to formulate anything. So this is the abbreviated version because, you know, my version of anything is the abbreviated version, right? So you take this golden net, this beautiful golden net, and you wave it around your head and you throw it out into the cosmos. And you wait a couple of minutes, you know, and then you pull it in. And then you have a look at your net and see what you see inside of there. It's really quite amazing and quite...
I like that.
Yeah, it's quite surprising because it's never what you expect. You know, I mean, I didn't get a Maserati in mind the first time, you know, which I thought that's what I would. But I got some other things which I was like, ooh, and they were like little golden orbs or little parchments with pieces of writing on them that gave me really incredible guidance, you know. So I invite you to... I've got to stop using your phrases.
Oh, why? They're actually not mine. I don't own them.
So I suggest to you all, you know, have a think about this golden net. A friend of mine, you know, taught it to me the other day, and I've been using it 5 or 6 times a day, and it's really quite fascinating. It's opening my mind, and it's allowing the universe to surprise me.
That's beautiful. Mm. I love that because it doesn't, you're not predefining or protecting or feeling threatened. You are saying, reveal to me. And I think that that throughout the day, actually, even more so to say, reveal to me what the net might bring is a beautiful way to receive messages throughout the day so that you don't feel disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think, too, if I could take that, if I can now use your phrase, and say, if I can suggest to others.
Well, if you can have it, it's not mine.
Oh, no, I don't want it. You can have it back.
Okay.
You're using a net for yourself and you are receiving information and guidance, I invite people to then gather with friends and communities and think about a world net, a net that you can throw out with your friends. You can bring it back. You can focus on another place in the world and ask the universe to reveal what are the messages. How can we help affect that place in the world? And bring the net in, and hopefully it's brought in several languages, not just the language that that world speaks or that part of the world, but that it's translated for you, and you all can all feel inspired in ways to affect communities, others around the world.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. We should start like a sort of a worldwide net.
I think we just did.
I think we did. We've got to do something about this. We've got to start a movement with this to save the planet. You know, who knows, you know, what you're going to bring in, what inspiration, what teaching. Because I think we need, as human beings, even though we're not really human beings, but as human beings masquerading as, we need these tools to help us to focus.
Yeah.
And no one believes really they can just, you know, stand there and go, okay, God, hit me with the message.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You continued that.
Oh, no, not with a thunderbolt. Hit me with a thunderbolt, God. No, you know, hit me with a message. And there's very few people, you know, that are that enlightened that can do that. So we need these tools, and I love your idea of taking it further.
Well, the other thing, in addition to that, Spirit's inviting, suggesting, and contemplating that walks in, well, of course, it depends where you live. I'm not inviting those to trek through a foot and a half of snow, but once it's melted and you are wearing the appropriate attire, to take walks in the forest, to take walks in sacred places, and then to gather in a circle, or if you're by yourself, and throw that net out to Mother Nature and ask ancestrally what the ley lines have to say in that moment, and also create a communication about what do the ley lines have to say about the history of the earth or what's coming, so then a dialogue can actually start. And not only with Mother Earth, but in other sacred places, that you're throwing out a net of consciousness and that you're starting a dialogue that includes you. It's not just about you receiving, but also about application and you giving. So see, I've entirely taken your concept, which I heard tonight for the first time, and I love it.
Well, I took it from somebody else.
Okay, well,
because this is what we do. Is it libelous? No, it's sharing.
You know, like I say, if it resonates, make it your own.
Good. I agree with that. You know, what you're talking about is really... Sorry, were you done? Were you done with that?
I'm never done, but go ahead.
Were you done with that particular thought pattern?
Yeah.
Sorry, you know. I want to be polite here, you know. Awareness, a joint awareness, a focused global awareness. What I see very much, and I think we all see if we're really honest, you know, we live in a first world country, and the majority of us are pretty comfortable, regardless of whether we're millionaires or salaried people. You know, there are comforts in America, which we know we deserve, because, well, when I say we, of course, I go, I'm not American, but, you know, which you all deserve. But we have a fantastic standard of living here that we take for granted. And in what I have seen over the years, as I've traveled extensively over the world, is Americans traditionally don't think globally, because they're quite comfortable within their family units or within their towns, etc., because everybody has their washer, dryer, dishwasher, blah, 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 and have a good standard of living, and don't really care, not in a bad way, but aren't really aware of what's going on in the rest of the world as long as they're comfortable here. And what Cynthia is suggesting, that sort of going out there and saying to that tree or touching the ley lines where you live, saying, hey, who lived here before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does this go? Does this touch somebody in another continent?
Absolutely.
Where is that energy? And it's a time for us. It's so important now that we stop thinking as individuals. You know, we start to really expand and think the world is changing and some drastic things need to happen for us to really change it. We can do that subtly and gently just by tuning into the earth, tuning into each other, and just being a little bit more aware, a little bit more respectful, listening. It's just the listening part of it.
I see you looking at me, but I was listening.
Well, I'm looking at you because there's nobody else in the room to look at. I mean, it's just you.
No, so, but listening, yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Because it's difficult for us to be still because the moment you wake up, the moment you go to bed, you're bombarded by all this media telling you what antiperspirant to wear and this and that and whatever else, you know. And you can't think straight. Nobody can think straight. Nobody's really taught to be quiet and listen. They have to go away and be hermits or join a Buddhist monastery or become a nun or something, you know. And I love that idea of just going into just having a walk.
Having a walk and connecting with mm-hmm. the ancestry. I know that for myself, when I walk or just tune in from where I am, that the ancestry that is alive and has a heartbeat and is breathing is communicating with all of us 24 hours a day. And when I say all of us, I mean beyond humanity, with itself, with Mother Nature, and all life in all form. So to tune in and to shift your focus there is to not only be aware and awake, but to empower yourself not just when you're taking a walk, but then to feel that connection is now inclusive in your life and that you can connect to it regardless of where you are, at your desk, etc. It's really about expanding your consciousness communication, and it's not only an opportunity, but it's one to make your own and then to create community. I think awareness, too, because there's different levels of awareness. I think awareness on any level is the benefit. But I think awareness from the heart, from kindness, from gentleness, from kindness in a way that is not just about serving, but about humility in a way that you are doing the act, you are showing up without an attachment to survival. What am I going to get out of this? But what can I offer here? There's an energy that moves through your veins, through your being, that it takes you to a different place, a different perspective. It takes you to a bigger perspective, a bigger place where all of a sudden you feel that you are endless, you are connected and provided for in any way you need, in an endless way. That all comes from living in an aware way through the heart and choosing kindness and the heart when other aspects of ourselves are vying for attention.
Allowing the world in and not being threatened, not thinking that it's going to damage you in some way. You know, mm-hmm. And we see that a lot of people are very, very closed off, and they want to protect themselves. But protect themselves against what? We're all manifestations of each other's personality. You know, we're all in this together. So if we're shutting ourselves off from other thought forms, other beings, we're just limiting ourselves and crashing our own energetic anatomies down and not sharing. And the whole purpose, I think, ultimately, and, you know, you can disagree with me if you wish, you have my permission, all of you, but the whole purpose of being out in this wilderness is that eventually we do resolve everything in that love, and we all look at each other and recognize each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, oh, I remember you. It was the Big Bang. All these little sparks, yeah? And then we take all of that experience resolved back into our, you know, what I call the God pod, and flavor the uncreated mass and, you know, bring it all out again. So, yeah, this is really all about allowing the new year in, allowing your new beginning in, and allowing other people into your lives without having to think that you have to make this massive emotional investment in any of it. Just, you know, don't take it too seriously. Don't prejudge. Don't assume that there's somebody you're not going to like or you're not going to be interested in what's going on in some other country. Open the mind. Open the mind and chill and see what comes in.
I agree. I think open the mind and listen to it or observe it, but sometimes, as we know in our humanity, we don't want to participate with our mind. We just want to witness it and then move into our heart space. I think also remember that you have choice, and when you are contemplating and really fueling, as an example, when we become a burden to ourselves and others while we're trying to affect burden, so if there's a problem or a burden in our lives, we are, not all of us, but as an example to those of us who are, when there's a burden or a problem, we're focused, almost hyper-focused on getting rid of that problem so we can experience peace, flow, so we can experience a reconnection. And at times, when that burden becomes a burden on us, we become heavy in our bodies. I mean, that we become affected energetically and on all levels because we were trying to hyper-fix something, and by doing so, we gave all our attention to it, and we forgot that within that very moment of burden and problem, there's a place and a space within us that is a place of peace and a place of complete serenity. Just like I said earlier, I was in a movie theater. This was years ago, and I was watching some beautiful preview, and a feeling came over me where I thought, my gosh, and tears flowed forth, where I thought, my gosh, right here, right now, in this moment, a child is being born while I'm sitting in this theater. Right now, in this moment, somebody is being healed. Somebody made it through surgery. There are all these new beginnings, and they're happening constantly every breath that we take. So remember that even in the time of your greatest loss or the time of your greatest fear, move back into the heart space and reconnect with the place within you where healing is occurring through you, with you, and globally all over.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. One other thing on that is, you know, something that I observe a lot. Everybody moves very fast in first world countries, but particularly, you know, there's so much to do and there's places to go and people to see, and people are always in crisis. They always seem to have some sort of an emergency, all right? And I want to, you know, invite you to think, what is an emergency in my life? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all right, an emergency is when someone comes up to me and puts a gun to my head, you know. And even then, at that point, I'm going to have to slow down and say, okay, crisis happening, don't react, do something, relax, chill completely. So I just see a lot of people that are having little crises day in, day out. Everything's an emergency. Something that the kids weren't picked up on time, or this or that or the other, or some bill wasn't paid in on time. And I'm seeing everybody's energetic anatomy just crashing and crashing and crashing and getting really tense. You know, these aren't emergencies you're having in your life. And this is what's going to, you know, stop the flow of that allowing. So, you know, let's take a look at how we live our lives day to day a little bit. And let's take a look at how we define things. Because if we're truly going to be still, you know, we can't move around so fast, and we can't suddenly stop, and then we're confused. This is what's happening. Everyone's running around really, really fast. Something throws a spanner in the works, and all of a sudden it's a crisis because you can't move on to the next thing. It's not a smooth flow. And if we're going to experience this heart space that Cynthia is talking about, I think we need to take a look at how we react to things in our lives so that our heart are continually open and our minds are continually open. We don't just get thrown off track by something because it didn't fit into our little pigeonhole existence that day.
I think too, yes, that one of the greatest, I think that we are all teachers teaching each other. We are all mirrors. And part of that is in awareness, when we are in awareness, when someone in front of us, known or unknown by us, is reacting in a really big, dramatic, negative way, that we can almost use that in that moment, not unlike you were saying, as a tool and a lesson of, I'm going to become peace and serenity at that level of intensity and amplify it. In that very moment, it's not even a conscious communication to the other person, but you might look at your life is talking to you out loud, and if you become greater peace in the face of greater intensity outside of peace, then you are learning within yourself that you have access to a place of serenity and divinity that is non-circumstantial, that it is not based on good, bad, that it is not based on amplification or lack of, but you start experiencing your ability to move into your own center non-circumstantially and experience joy, experience peace and serenity regardless of what is attempting or greatly desiring a reaction from you opposite.
And what a vibration you're setting up in the universe by doing that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not only experiencing it for yourself, but for everybody who's connected with you and for every person you've ever been. So, and again, this goes back through generational line. You know, what a wonderful thing that you're creating there. What a wonderful vibration for the universe. You're truly doing your job by being an expansive being.
And expanding, and then, yes, I agree, that word expanding is key, because if you're standing in front of somebody that's contracting, that can be a key. Often people come to me and they say, well, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to be, what should I, how can I affect this to become that? And I often share with individuals, look to your life and those that are mirroring something to you or their lesson to you, that if you have a lot of individuals around you that are contracting and in fear and are at you, then possibly the message to you is quite the opposite, that you can find within you an expanded, you can expand in relationship to their contraction, and you can find yourself in that expansion, and then from there make choices about who you will live with and what you will do, et cetera. But experience yourself first. Experience yourself, then make choices.
Yep. Experience the inspiration. Yes, absolutely. Very well put. I'll take a look at that.
You can have that.
Thank you so much. I'm just making a note here. Cynthia said, I can have that. Okay. So anyway, can I give the number out one more time, Cynthia? Because I think nobody takes it down the first time around. I want to put it out there again. It's 1-877-876-5227, 1-877-876-5227. All right.
I want to also invite people to look at the word love, that love, human love, universal love, animal kingdom love, that love is not just a word, it's an equation, it's an energetic pulse. And that if you invite the word into your own inner dialogue, replacing hate, inner judgment, separation, that you actually start calming down and a peace begins happening within you, because you realize that the word love itself, lined up literally, means life offering valuable experiences. So love is literally a co-creation with life offering valuable experiences for your soul. It's not here to just beat you up and spit you out. It's here for revelations and communication with each other. It's learning while living. There's so many of us that are racing towards the end of the race, towards the what's it called?
The finishing line?
The finishing line.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm here for you.
Finishing line. People are racing towards the finishing line. But when they get there in that race, in that rate of speed, many come to me and stop and look back and say, well, I didn't want to be here this soon. I'm not ready to be here. Well, wait a second. There's so much I want to do. I didn't want to miss out on. So the invitation to you all, listening and participating with yourselves, again, only if it resonates, of course, is to not race, like Ani was saying, so quickly to the finish line, but to stop and experience learning while living, to not try and be perfect, but to be always loving towards yourself first and others, that my definition of enlightenment is the ability for change to be changing and returning to love always. That is the ability to be enlightened. It's not that to be enlightened is to act only in laughter and in goodness, but the ability to return to authentic love is that ability itself.
Mm-hmm. You know, the experience is really what it's all about. I mean, if you get to the finishing line, you can take a couple of minutes, but you're going to want to start another race.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to start the race all over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if say you've experienced every single life experience that there is. Mm-hmm. Say you've had thousands of incarnations, you know, and you've experienced everything there is to experience in all its myriad form, and you're accepted back into the uncreated mass. You know, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to hang out for a bit, because it's probably amazing in there. But then you're going to want to start all over again. That's what we're created to do, is to experience, experience, experience. So, you know, no eyes on the finishing line, eyes on the experience. Enjoy every minute of it, because once it's over, how many people do we know? Because, I mean, you know, we talk to people who perhaps live on both dimensions.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. who've got to the other side and went, oops. Oh, I really shouldn't have taken that so seriously, should I? I missed out on this, and the other, you know?
I think we have a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller.
Hi there, Cynthia and Ani. This is Susie Ward.
Susie, is it Susie?
It is.
Hi, Susie.
Hi there. Oh, I have just loved listening to all of your wisdom and your invitations and suggestions. And I'm cheating in a way. This is the perfect opportunity for me to send you 1,000 blessings in the new year.
Thank you, Susie.
Right back at you tenfold. You are
Amen.
A blessing on this earth to all, known and unknown.
You are
such a blessing. And just hearing your voice lights up our hearts and puts huge smiles on our face.
We're laughing.
Yeah. Well, I have been smiling for the last almost 40 minutes, occasionally laughing, you know, with you. And I just want to mention one thing that I am so glad you're emphasizing, allowing. I don't mean that everything else you have said is of lesser importance, but if we just allow mm-hmm. instead of barring, you know, putting up some sort of barrier, mm-hmm. Life really becomes so much easier.
Oh, that is never more words of truth spoken. Allowance is definitely the key to flow instead of fight.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah, and of course I'm coming from several decades of experience to get to this point. Not everybody has to be such a late bloomer as I. And I should have had your program tonight 50 years ago.
So should we. Except Cynthia would be something like minus 20 or something. I know.
I was just thinking that at least Cynthia wouldn't have even been among us then.
No, she wouldn't. And I'd be at ground zero, but boy, I would have been such a brilliant toddler.
And how? Well, if we can just put the three of us in the continuum where we're ageless.
Absolutely.
Or every age, whichever.
Absolutely. And your wisdom shared with us tonight about allowance. It is ageless, and it is timeless, and it is infinite ancestral information, and it is information that is simplistic, and it is also life-changing. So thank you, Susie, for calling in and adding such beautiful wisdom.
Well, thank you, dear. Now, I'm not going to take any more of your time. I'm interested in what else the two of you are going to be sharing with us, but blessings and love from Matthew and
me. Thank you so much, Susie. Blessings and huge love to you and your sacred, beloved family.
Thank you, dear. And so just ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
That's cute.
I have to share with the callers that Susie Ward is a longtime friend and I consider family. That I had the supreme honor to meet and to serve her and her family and to be healed and experienced them, and she's in the community. Matthew Speaks are the books that she, with her son that is very much alive and on the other side, communicates with her and through her. It's just an endless portal of infinite truth and love, and it is ongoing, and she is a very special being.
Absolutely. And actually, if I can just add, it was a delight on her very last show. She did invite me to be a guest, and I just remember being so nervous. It was my first ever sort of radio show, and it was such a delight. She was so easy to work with, and it was such a blessing, and I'm just so glad she's in my life.
Yes.
We love you, Susie.
Yes, and because of Susie, this show has, the show, Awakening Matters, has been given birth to. So because of Susie and her departure from her radio show is the reason why we are here. So thank you again, and supreme blessings ongoing to her and her family.
Amen to that.
She was talking about allowance, and so we're talking about allowance. We're talking about being awake, aware, slowing down, breathing, expanding in the face of contraction. And I wanted to add, because there's so much contraction fear and so much going on worldly, especially right now, that can have a lot of people, whether in the United States or around the world, contracted and fear-based, I invite you to know that we are all instruments of the most divine, and if we can allow ourselves to expand in the light of peace, in the light of love, in the light of creation, and send co-creating energy to these places in the world, whether it's with a net or with a net, not a net, unless you know an Annette, then invite her and do it with her. But with connect and know that regardless of what's happening in your life, you can make a difference in the world, and you can do it by allowing and expanding and connecting with a place in the world that you would like to add peace, serenity, and love to.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing with the allowing is what we're trying to say is we didn't come here to suffer and struggle and have a terrible time. We really didn't. We came here, yes, for the contrast, undoubtedly, but allowing means understanding what you're a part of, which is understanding your divinity and allowing, you know, understanding your place in creation and working with that. And as Abraham says, the worthiness of your being alone is enough. And if you really understand that concept, then you will understand the art of allowing.
That's beautiful.
You know? And can I just say, you know, when you find yourselves stuck and you are going upstream and you want to turn around and go downstream, or you're having a challenge, there is all these little exercises that you can do, the net and blah, 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 blah. But sometimes I'm a really big believer on meditating on the word love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it may be in your language. But if you sit and really think about the word love and allow it to permeate your being and see what colors it brings up and what images it brings up, if you were to spend 5 minutes a day, even 3 minutes a day, just breathing and saying the word love and allowing that feeling in, next time you're having a challenge with the guy in the next cubicle, or your idiot boss comes up to you and... you just actually stand there and you feel the love, feel that vibration. You'll see what happens. You will be surprised.
Mm.
The whole point of meditating on these words is that you get to that vibration. You were talking about this a little earlier, remembering that vibration so that when you can call on it and heighten your alignment.
That the word love is an equation. It's an energetic equation that changes the molecules. Literally within you, I think what you're saying,
yes.
And the space around you.
Yep. It is mm-hmm. not an emotion to be experienced. It is creation. Yeah.
And in its creation, it affects all our aspects, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically. But I agree with you that if we are given the opportunity in this life on a daily level to choose love or fear and everything that spirals off from love or fear. And so every day and every moment when you are being offered fear, say, I choose love instead of fear, or use any words or mantra or meditation that transform or transmutes fear. You don't have to know the details of how. Just simply be allowing that, focusing on love instead of fear, that in itself, the equation, will literally transform the fear, and all of a sudden you are not experiencing it to the degree that you are, and you are experiencing opening occurring in your life, which we're talking about new beginnings and openings. So we're also talking about how to create those.
Absolutely. You know, it is okay to start from where you are on any journey, you know. I mean, I know when you go to Ireland and you ask somebody for directions there, traditionally they say to you, well, you shouldn't have started from here, you know. Anybody who's been to Ireland knows that. But I disagree with that, you see. So, we don't overcomplicate things. You're in a bad place? Okay. Think of something better. Get yourself out of that bad place so you can be a little more objective about looking at where you were.
Yes, and for those of us who can't think when we're in a bad place because our mind seizes, then move into literally what you said earlier, which was beautiful, just focusing on the word love and allowing it to permeate your being, like you said, will help you to move out of confusion and chaos and into more clarity. And if not, into a place of peace, that then, from there, you can rethink your situation or your participation.
Because we all think we know what's best for us. We all think we know what a situation needs to be like. But we really need to give up the emotional investment in the actual outcome. As supreme divine beings, you know, created by our Creator, if we allow, then we say, this is what we think we want, but we're giving it up in love. You make the final decision, universe. For the highest good of all concerned, under grace and in perfect ways, however you want to phrase that.
Yes, and then there's that saying, if you love something, let it free once, twice, three times, and if it comes back to you, then it is a love that knows itself better than the personalities trying to define it.
Beautifully put.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that applies to all sorts of things, people, habits, behavioral issues.
Everything. A buffet, you know.
A buffet. We must never go to a buffet. It's not a good place for us to be, you know.
It is a tremendous time to change from 2008 into 2009, a time of, if you think about the number nine, it is a time of the birthing, of the creating of the 9 months. It's also, if you add the two and the nine, it's an 11. So it's really a tremendous numerical time. Do we have a caller?
Yes, you do.
Hi, caller. Welcome.
Hi there. I was really interested when you were talking about just say I choose love, which I thought was really interesting. I know there's a lot of people that there's a lot of sadness and a lot of tragedy in the world, and people want to do something. You know, if it's Rwanda or something like that, is there still good direction when you read the newspaper and you read the horrible stories? You say, I choose love?
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you, caller, and it's a beautiful question. Thank you so much for calling in and listening and participating. When you are reading the paper, everyone, and you get to a place where it moves you to tears or it contracts you, place your hands on the literal story. Place your hands on the picture and allow yourself to become an instrument of love, not channeled, but focused, there on that story and on that picture, saying, I choose love, and in your own words, of course, but I choose love and I allow it to flow as powerfully as it can to me first and through me to this situation. And know that at the level that something is created, to fight and force against it is going to be a long-term effect that will take some time to remanifest. But to see at a level that it's created that there has been a complete breakdown and loss of life, etc., and you want to affect it, you're going to a place outside of time when you connect with the energy of love and you're able to affect that physical space tremendously in a much faster rate of speed. So thank you, caller. What, any words about that, Ani?
Me have an opinion on something? I don't know, Cynthia. No, it's actually a very beautiful question, and I'm glad you brought it up. Also, when one's dealing with the media, never buy into their interpretation of it, because it is all perception. We don't know what trip these people are on and what karmic obligations they have. All we can do is send it out in love. That's all we can do. And it makes a very big difference.
It makes a tremendous difference, and each and every one of us focusing the opposite of what's happening there, we create a network, a portal of love and of light and of energy and empowerment for each individual that is living in that space and experiencing that trauma and experiencing that horrificness around them. They're able, when they become quiet and breathe deeply and talk to their inner God, to connect with the portal of that unending energy that you and others create. Do you understand?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller.
That was a good question. Thank you.
Yes, very, very much so. Now, again, 2009 is a tremendous time for new beginnings, and new beginnings personally and globally, and they can be done in peace and gently. They can be done not in contraction, but in expansion and in trust. And there is no need to tear down in order to build up. There is no need to have something be sick in order to have healing. So sometimes what I call this plane of demonstration, many individuals create the worst possible scenario to be able to experience the highest possible one available. Skip the need to experience the worst possible scenario and give yourself permission to go straight to the most beautiful of experiences, and whether it's a flower, a garden, a child laughing, or a first kiss, or the first kiss from the universe within your heart. Know that you have permission to go there and then keep that memory and experience alive within you to revisit at any time you desire.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Hold that vibration, remember it, and feel it, and bring it out as you need. And I do agree with you, Cynthia, if I got your meaning correctly. I think we put ourselves through it quite a bit too much. I think this whole experience everything, I think we've done it before. Just assume that you've had the slog and you've had the hardship, you know? we all have at some point. So, you know, whatever, we have to learn whatever we have to learn, but it's the beginning of a golden new age, people. It really is. Let's reach out for something better. Let's reach out for something that really teaches us who we really are. We know it. It's in there. It's our truth. Our truth is perfection.
I think reach out and reach in and reach to each other and reconnect in a way that gives you permission to claim in the year 2009 that you will receive happiness, and not to define necessarily in details of this physicality what that happiness will look like, but that you are open to receiving the energy and the source in a universal divine way of happiness that's to be filled with what you have been lacking, to be filled with happiness, as an example, and to be filled and flow over is to then be available to offer that to others wherever you go. We are connected and integrated beyond what our mentality is even comfortable comprehending. And so, you know, become the peace that you want to see in the world. That's a statement that when you practice it and you experience it, you will do nothing other than desire to live it, you know. So that wraps it up for today.
Thanks, everybody, so much for tuning in and being a part of this. You're making the world a better place. And as always, we welcome your feedback. Our email address is brazilbrit@gmail.com. That's brazilbrit@gmail.com.
Our next show, please tune in, will be January 12th at 8 p.m. we will be talking about motivation, how to stay on track with yourself, what motivates, tools, and all kinds of things. And we, again, are so thankful to each and every Heartlight and individual for taking your time to participate and experience not only our voice, but possibly your own reverberating through you. And tune in to hear the Brazilian
and the Brit. So this is Ani Avedisian, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. Again, if it resonates, make it your own.